Blog Talk Radio.
PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a free trial now at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Once again, that is audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch.
Actually, you're full of something else. You are a sniveling little suck-up sellout full of suffering suckatash, son! Yeah, I know, that was not easy to say.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Do you not see this fine plate of kielbasa? You think I want to answer your questions when I'm eating kielbasa? You want to ask me about Bray Wyatt? You see this kielbasa? Bray Wyatt. I'm enjoying quality sausage, and you want to ask me about Bray Wyatt?
It's a sparkle kid.
You people, today is Wednesday, February the 4th, 2015. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Your Wednesday intro is Sport for Kings, as done by Kings on Bridges, the Kids on Bridges, the official artist of the PW Torch Livecast. That's for those of you who don't say I don't know how to mix sound clips. It is available on iTunes. Be sure to check that out. We are coming at you today with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you might learn something before we're done. We are taking your calls, 646-721-9828, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter over at Real Pat McNeil. Let's go ahead and do this. What do you say? I have one of our guest stars on the line. I have been trying to get hold of the other one, but let's take care of the first part first. Let's see, where is it? Excuse me, pardon me. I know I put this somewhere. Oh yes, here he is.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man who needs no introduction, but we'll let him do it anyway.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Justin Credible here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to... I thought you'd do the long term. Justin Credible's here, ladies. All right. Justin Credible's back on the show. And now comes the fun part, because I was trying to get hold of... Oh, hold on. He is right here. Hold on. Let me get our second guest out here. Let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, one half of the legendary Road Warriors, former holders of the AWA, NWA, and the WWE Tag Team Champions, the one and only Road Warrior Animal. Welcome to the show, Animal.
Hey, man, what's up?
It's good to have you on. It's this is one of the things I've always wanted to do on this show. You may have met Justin Credible. I don't know when, but you guys have probably crossed paths at some point.
I don't know. I think I might have crossed paths somewhere down the line. I knew Hawk pretty well, and I worked for your brother John when I was in WWE, but I don't think you and I have, actually. But it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, so you're no longer with WWE, I take it.
Yeah, no, sir.
Well, hey, there's a bunch of us that are no longer with WWE, so don't feel bad.
No, I definitely wouldn't. Now, Animal is a very busy man. In addition to, we're going to talk about some other stuff, but this Saturday, Animal is going to be in Joppa, Maryland, as part of Maryland Championships Wrestling's anniversary show. That is this Saturday. Also on the show, Kevin Nash and a young lady named Amy Dumas, who was formerly known as Lita. That sounds like a lot of fun, Animal. And I want to thank MCW promoter Danny McDevitt for his part in setting this up. It's always a pleasure to work with nice people. And Animal, are you excited about this Saturday? I mean, I know you're busy. I know this isn't the last show you're going to do or anything like that. But do you like getting out there?
Oh, yeah, man. It's always great to get out to a town like Baltimore, get to see the fans, you know. And usually when I'm done there, I head down to Little Italy, stop at Sabatino's or somewhere and grab a good bite to eat or something, you know. But I like the Baltimore, D.C. area. It's always been good, the Road Warriors, the LOD gimmick. And, you know, it'd be great to see Lita and Kevin Nash here too, man. The fans will get a treat. Very rarely do you get, you know, three icons in our business together at one time.
Mm-hmm. And if that wasn't enough, you got you get to keep up with your son James Laurinaitis, who, for those 7 or 8 people who might not know it, plays linebacker for the St. Louis Rams in the NFL.
Your son had a hell of a season last year, didn't he?
Yeah, really well.
You know what? If he had been in a different kind of market, if you're in a Dallas market or anywhere else, you know, he definitely is in the Pro Bowl for sure. You know, I mean, he was a Pro Bowl alternate,
yeah.
But I mean, he ended up with almost 170 tackles this year. You know, and anyway, you know that the
that's amazing.
He's happy.
I mean,
his team votes him captain, and he's more happy with his teammates voting him captain than he is about making any Pro Bowl or something like that. So it all works out, you know.
That's awesome. I mean, this is Justin talking, but I'm a huge football fan, and just being, you know, you got to be so proud of yourself. Wrestling is wrestling, and I love wrestling, and I respect wrestling, but the NFL is a whole different gimmick, and man, it's got to be such a great feeling to, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, before wrestling, my first love was football, you know, and for personal reasons, I, you know, had to quit my dream, and, you know, and I got into coaching, and of course, James is one of my kids that I coached, and saw something in him, right? You know, not that I'm Vince Lombardi or anything, but I coached him in all the way up until high school, and I mean, he did fine. And you know, he's, a lot of people don't realize James actually got drafted for ice hockey as well.
Oh wow!
Really?
Yeah, he got drafted, and then he had to make a decision out of high school: do I go hockey or do I play football? And he loves football, so that's why he stuck with it. Went to Ohio State and had a good career, and now he's having a great career with the Rams. You know, it's. Whether
yeah,
they stay
awesome.
In St. Louis or not, I don't know. They may be the LA Rams next year. You never know.
Yeah.
Sure.
That is one of the rumors. Also, for those who don't know, your brother Marcus was in WCW briefly as part of the Wrecking Crew. We've been doing our Wayback Playback show on the weekends, and we're probably going to be getting to WCW in 1993 shortly. Your wife, a former powerlifter. I mean, it's just an incredible family.
Yeah, well, ex-wife. But Wikipedia's wrong. They actually, people were wishing me happy birthday this year on January 26th, and that's Hawk's birthday. So, you know, his mom used to be a powerlifter, and you know, James has got pretty good genetics, and you know, my daughter Jessica will as well, you know, skated with the Minnesota Whitecaps, which is the spring and summer team for the U.S. Olympic hockey team. So she skated with some good skaters too. So yeah, you know, kids have done real well, you know. I mean, you gotta keep it in athletics. I'm a firm believer that athletics and studies go hand in hand, you know.
And I also had the pleasure of reading a couple months back your autobiography, Road Warriors, Danger, Death, and the Rush of Wrestling, which covers, it covers a lot of ground and doesn't really seem, it's an upbeat book, but it doesn't really seem sanitized like biographies that come out through a certain wrestling company.
Well, yeah, and I don't blast anybody in there. And
No, I'm not saying
I speak very honest in there. I mean, I actually could write volume 2, 3, and 4 if I want, which I might someday. But, yeah, it was a fun time doing it. I mean, New York Times bestseller list for about a year, so it was pretty good. So I was happy with it. Writing a book is definitely tedious, but it was good to get it out there. People were wanting it. They were tired of the crap books that were coming out by the other company. And, now I was giving them just something, a little bit of the ins and outs of the wrestling business,
Yeah, it's kind of hard. The pro wrestling business right now makes it kind of hard to be an outlaw like wrestlers used to be back in the day, or even make it hard to negotiate a better salary for yourself.
Well, something's going to have to change in the wrestling business here sooner or later because, companies are losing money left and right, and, it's getting a little stale. So, in my opinion, they're going to have to change things around a little bit.
Okay, now people are going to get angry. Yeah, the people who have been angry at me for hogging the microphone, 646-721-9828. We have callers on hold. We have emails. We have people in the chat room. What do you think, guys? Let's start off. Want to start off with the telephone?
Jacob, what are you doing?
Okay. All right. Are we ready to take calls from our listeners?
Sure.
Heck yeah, man. Let's go.
All right, let's kick things off in the 240 area code. 240, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Justin Credible and Road Warrior Animal.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good. First question is, who was the best wrestler at throwing the hard way punch when you got involved in pro wrestling? This is for both of you.
the hard way punch.
Yeah, who throws the heaviest punch? Let's go with that.
Bro, I don't know, it's tough. I mean, Hawk used to be able to hit like a mule, I don't know. I suppose the guy who had the best reputation for something like that is Haku.
Yes.
From what I hear.
I'd have to say, for me, this is Justin, I'd have to say Brett Bellby. We used to rip him and call him the rubber mallet, because he really used to just slug away at you. But another one who was, I don't think he realized how strong he was Ron Simmons. But, that man, he was just cock strong. He was just so, he didn't know his own strength. Boy, if he let loose on one of those bad boys, which I was on the receiving end of a couple, he was pretty serious, serious business,
Well, Hawk and I used to be able to throw a clothesline or two on our day, too,
I believe so.
We made some
I heard
guys,
something about that, yeah.
Yeah, we made some guys flip around without even trying. But, you got to look at it. You got to figure, you had Ron Simmons, who's, a 550-pound bench guy. You had guys like me and the Warlord and Scott Norton that were over 600 pounds at a bench, legitimately, and not no fake wooden weights either. So, you put some force behind it, man, you could definitely do some damage if you wanted to.
Yeah. Also, by reputation, Terry Funk, when he opened up with his left hand, apparently hit pretty hard. That's a rumor. I didn't stand in front of him and let him punch me,
Well, the problem was with Terry. I worked with Terry a whole lot, and he just sometimes when he would start doing that wild windmill stuff, he had a good working punch, but when he let loose with that crazy act, man, those things were coming. He'd split you wide open. I've seen him, he was insane.
Well, let me tell you something. When you get a punch coming behind you with a 600-pound bench behind it and a little bit of law of physics, it'll outdo the normal guy's punch any day of the week.
Yes, sir.
That's true. Okay. All right. Next question, Ryan.
Second question is, what hookers or shooters did you encounter when you first got into the wrestling business that actually roughed you up on the ground?
What, bookers or wrestlers?
Hookers, shooters.
Nobody ever roughed me up on the ground. No, I'm dead serious about that because if anybody would have tried to shot, they're going to get punched in the back of the head.
Right.
And that was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we, on the other hand, too, Hawk and I had the respect of everybody we broke in with. But I broke in with the Hansons and Brodies right at the end of their career and Harley Race. I mean, one of my toughest matches was Harley Race and Stan Hansen. We broke in with guys like that, so we broke in with respect immediately, which definitely needs to come back into the wrestling business because guys go through camp now, and it's not their fault. But they go through a camp, and next thing you know, they expect to get in the wrestling business, and after one match, they want to be a world champ. But that's just not the way it is.
It's not the business.
There's dues that have to be paid, and that respect needs to come back. Climbing that ladder of success needs to come back. What Hawk and I did was totally uncommon and uncharacteristic in the wrestling business. We were at the right place, right time, had the right persona, right interview, right look, right action. It just worked till today, almost 30 years later. If I were to walk in the ring, paint it up, and you play Oh What a Rush, the people are going to stand in ovation because they just appreciated what we did. And we never lied to the people, and we related to the people, and you have a relationship when you're doing an interview with the people, which is totally missing today.
Yeah.
The only guy that has the relationship with the people where he can really get them turned up in a second is Daniel Bryan. He gets that yes cheer going, they go crazy, and he is the only one that gets the people absolutely in a frenzy, say.
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, I could attest to what you're saying, Joe. I mean, when I was a fan when you, I mean, I was, you know, a young man, and I saw you guys in an arena for the first time, and the electricity and the city, it was something that doesn't unfortunately come through in the business today. And I think we as a business are kind of to blame for it, the way it's been exposed and stuff. But it was just, man, and it was before the WWE, it was NWA when Iron Man came on. You knew shit was on, excuse my language, but it was some serious stuff, and that emotion, that raw, you know, that was money. And unfortunately, fans just, you know, there's a couple of guys that do it, not to take anything away from, you know, maybe it's my age talking too, you know, but it's just, it's so different. It was so much better.
It's funny you say that when we get ribbed all the time. We used to get ribbed by guys like Michael Hayes and stuff. And guys, that, even now when they get a cheer, they all stay in the back room. Oh, hey, man, you got a Road Warrior pop. And
we used to say that. You're right. Yeah.
And they still say it today, even though we've been retired. I've been retired since 2006. And, you know, God bless Hawk. He's been gone, then, you know, for almost 10, 12 years now. It's amazing.
Yeah,
how that correlation keeps going on.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I'll never
different
forget
either.
It. I'll never forget being in the arena. You know,
it's no different when somebody says, "Hey, go to the gorilla position." Gorilla Monsoon's gone, but everybody knows where the gorilla position is.
Sure,
it's where you go to get ready to go to the ring and get ready to go do your thing. You know, it's a tribute to the guys that respect you, and you know you did your job right, and you know it's. I mean, hey, but that's like I said, that's like a rarity. That's why. When I feel bad for young guys, and I know we'll probably get into this in a bit, but I feel bad for young guys like the Ascension guys that are just coming out. When you mention our name in your sentence and you even try to act like you're like Hawk and I were, you, A, not only insult yourself, insulting us is the last one on the list, but you're insulting the integrity of the fans.
Yeah.
People don't even want to hear you put our name in the same sentence. They don't even want to hear it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
think now after the past couple of weeks, that's become their gimmick almost. That they, you know, that they, yeah,
yeah.
That they're not
you know
very good. What's that?
Guys from that generation don't measure up with guys from today. You know, I don't know if it's the integrity of the business. It's what we, you know, certain guys went through to prove themselves. It's just, you know, it's very hard to, you know, who's going to be, you know, who do we consider great that was. You know, like the guys that came before us. You know, we have some real legends from 10, 15, 20 years ago that just don't measure up today. And I think that's just the way the business is presented, and also the lack of another major company really putting out a good quality product that fans could also get involved in. I think it's a lot of that stuff, too.
Exactly right, man. There's nowhere else to go. And
right.
they only will let guys get as big as they want to let them get.
Yes.
Yeah.
now, you know. Okay, and before, you couldn't. But there's certain things, like, I mean, in the eyes of the fan, this is where I get again, and you can't insult the integrity of fans. They know who they want to cheer for. That's
sure.
Why, I mean, I've not even been on the TV, and my action figure still sold out last Christmas. They just made a new one of me last month. They put me in a package with Rusev and somebody else. And for what other reason, then, to try to sell those products? Because our stuff still sells. You know, so it's funny how they won't want to talk to you or use you in one sense, but then they will in another sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
The ratings just came out, and it's always amazing, but the Raw reunion shows where they bring back some of the legends always draws better. And, you know, I'm 41 years old. When I got into business, I was broken in by the Hearts up in Calgary in 1992. And it was the dying days of the territories, but I did get to work territories before I got my break with the WWE. But, you know, it's just today, that just doesn't, I don't know what it is. I just think that fans yearn for that. I don't know if it's authenticness or whatever. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they look at guys today as being soft because, you know, WWE is the only game in town. But you can't compare a guy like The Miz, for example, to a guy, you know, to guys from, let's say, the Attitude Era or the late 80s. Or, you know, it's just they don't have enough depth, and maybe that's just the way it is. But, you know, there's only a handful, two, three guys that could hold a torch to any of those guys. And, you know.
Yeah, well, they just don't let guys get developed like they used to get them, too, you know. And, I mean, think about it. You guys know from being wrestling fans, if they really wanted to get Ascension over, my phone would have been ringing off the hook to walk down to the ring with those guys or introduce them or something.
Sure. Sure.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, you don't have guys come in there dressed in red and black and have face paint on without associating Hawk and I with him somehow. And my personal opinion of why I was never called is because the yellow D chant and the cheer of the crowd will overshadow what they're trying to do with the Ascension guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's no doubt.
And that's just, you know, why I wasn't called. So that's why, you know, people were saying, oh, Animal, you mad. Man, it didn't bother me one way or the other. You know, I hope the guys make $1 million in this business, you know, or millions, but it's never going to happen because now they're dead in water right now.
Dead in the water. After the first time they brought up the reference, dead right there.
Yeah,
you know,
because people don't want to hear it. And nope. Not much less you would talk about me, talk about Powers of Pain, you talk about Demolition, too.
All of them.
The three biggest teams in the history of the wrestling business, pretty much.
Yep.
And you now you got to try to fight out from underneath that. It's hard when you're thrown in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean without a life raft to start swimming.
They're putting these kids in a horrible place, too, because even Roman Reigns, which has been a source of controversy with this response to the Royal Rumble and fans kind of shitting on him, guys are coming, you know, they're dead on arrival, and then they have to fight out from under this instead of getting a slower build that they deserve. But these kids aren't ready for it, and then they find themselves way behind the eight ball without a chance of ever getting out of it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I've said that a million times. They have this, these guys, they come in and they're wrestling for a title shot immediately. Building a rapport with the fans takes longer than a month. Takes longer than 6 months, man. The fans look, John Cena is one of our better performers the business has had. Still have half the fans that are not with him because he was rushed into a situation.
Yep.
I mean, if he would have been built back in my day, no doubt in my mind, Cena would have been a Hogan. You know what I mean? And he is the Hogan of today, but he still could be, you know, and the problem with today is you have too many bad guy versus bad guy, good guy versus good guy, and then you have somebody like, what's his name? Who's the bald-headed guy? Big muscular guy, Phoebe Moore guy.
Ryback.
Oh, I was having a great
part
there. Yeah. And you beat him every time you get into a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
He's your top-looking mean guy in the company, and you kill him. And then Big Show. Don't get me started on Big Show. That guy should not ever never go off his feet like Andre, and he could have had another giant built there. So I know times are different, but there's certain things
will never change.
Anomalies. Certain anomalies that come along in the business that you have to protect.
Okay.
And they're just not taking care of it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I laid out for a little bit. Ryan, did you have a third question?
My final question is, would you be upset if Paul Ellering would ever manage the Ascension for some crazy reason?
No. But, I mean, listen, I don't think Paul would do it. And, B, I don't even think WWE would even use their heads to do it. I mean, because he tried it. They tried to do that thing one time with DOA with us. And
yeah, that's right.
Be honest with you, people farted on it so bad. It was the dumbest thing he could have done. Well, he should have just done it, had Paul come with us and be our guy. I mean, again, it's one of those marriages in our wrestling business that you just don't want to mess with, and I don't know why you would. It's no different than when you try to get everybody to believe that the Steiner brothers hated each other and they're going to fight each other. People believe that, yeah, sure. I mean, they're family. There's no way it's going to happen. Or they let it happen. You know, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, personally,
yeah,
I don't think, would I be mad? No, I wouldn't be mad. I mean, Paul's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care what they do. I just don't think it would be a proper thing to do.
Okay.
Legacies are legacies for a reason.
Sure. And fans reject
right,
it when they see it.
Thanks for calling
know.
In. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Ryan.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you, 646-721-9828. Of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way you reach us. We have so many questions that we have. Let's go ahead and, Animal, are you up for an email question?
Yeah, sure, go.
Okay. Email question from Chris, who I believe is from... I believe he's also, I don't know, where is Chris from? I don't know. Let's say he's from Minnesota. Chris wants to know, Animal, what was your role in the formation of Pro Wrestling America?
Which company was Pro Wrestling America?
That would be, I don't know. It's not Pro Wrestling USA. I'm going to guess no by that answer. Second question.
Yeah,
I had nothing
to do with that.
All right. What about Eddie Sharkey getting inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame? Because of the big, and that would be because of, you know, who he trained and how many guys he trained. I don't think that's very high on their priority list. Inducting wrestling trainers.
No,
I mean, I could
but,
be wrong.
But if you're going to treat it like a true sports profession,
yeah.
I mean, Eddie trained Jesse Ventura. He trained me and Hawk and Scott Norton and Rick Rude. Barry Darsall, you know, Smashing Demolition. You got Nikita Koloff. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
So many
trained,
guys.
So,
I think
yeah,
he trained Sean Waltman, too, X-Pac. I mean, he was
yeah,
Jerry Lynn from ECW. I mean, yeah, he's,
yep,
a, I mean,
exactly.
yeah, he's one
a
of the
lot
best.
Of great,
yeah.
A lot of great guys, man. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would – I mean, listen, if you're going to put somebody like Schwarzenegger in for making one appearance on a show, why would you have a guy that's trained – why would
right.
you have guys that train – you know, 25, 30 guys. And besides that, Eddie wrestled.
Yeah, he was a hell of a worker, too.
Well, yeah, Eddie wrestled Harley Race for the world championship at one
yeah.
time. You know,
yeah.
so.
That Minnesota yeah. connection, boy, he's awesome.
Okay, another email question, this one for Justin. This again, Chris, wants to know how active Stu Hart was during your wrestling training.
Not much at all. No, I think I met Stu on two or three separate occasions. When I was there, it was mostly Keith Hart and Bruce Hart, the two older brothers that did most. And even to be in full disclosure, they really didn't do that much of the training. They would show up, kind of sit at ringside. Chris Jericho and Lance Storm were actually there with the camp before I was. And they were actually, you know, they were from Calgary, so they would get in the ring and really do more of the demonstrations and work you out. And then Keith and Bruce would show up, you know, they both had jobs, and they would come in and kind of work with you a little bit. But then Lance and Chris really, you know, were the guys that were on hand with me.
Okay, so that worked out well, is what you're saying?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it did.
But was there anybody in your class who went on to do as well as you did?
No, I was the only one. It's funny, you know, back in, you know, and I know Animal can attest to this, you know, it was a little bit different, you know, even when I'm sure when I broke in than when he broke in is a way different deal. So, you know, it always changes. But, you know, the first week of training camp, I mean, we ran, we did the 500 squat deal, bumps till you couldn't even see straight. So they would try to kind of push you out. When we started camp, there were 11 people from all over North America, Canada, and the U.S., because it was up in Calgary. And by the end, there was just myself and this one other gentleman, and he just went on to do local stuff. I think he still does. His name is Brett Farrell out of Toronto. But, no, I was, you know, I was the only one that did, I guess, anything.
Yeah, I'm not a wrestler, but it's my understanding that not everybody does wrestling training that way anymore.
No. Well, you know what, though, man? It should. It was hard when you did it, but you know what? It shows you what you have to prove your love for this business. I mean, I literally, when I went to Calgary, I was 225 pounds, you know, gassed up to the gills because I'm a little guy. And when I left, I was 195 pounds because you were starving. I was working the local territory after training camp, you know, and sometimes all I could buy was a gallon of milk for nourishment. You weren't getting paid. You were setting up the rings, taking them down. And that stuff doesn't exist. But what that does build, even though it's horrific at the time or it seems, it builds character. It shows respect. I mean, to this day, I'll walk into a locker room and I'll shake everybody's hand. I treat everybody with the proper respect. And there's some kids, 2-3 matches out of training camp or wrestling schools, whatever you want to call it, that won't even shake your hand or, you know, think they're bigger than the business. And that's what kills me about the business. That drives me nuts, man.
Yeah, when I go to a locker room, because I still do it the same way. When I used to go in a locker room as a young kid, if there was a Dusty Rhodes out there, we were all heading out to that locker room as fast as we can to shake his hand. And I went to a WWE event a couple Fridays ago, took family down to St. Louis here, and went to the event and sat there, and I could not believe it. I mean, you know, about 10 guys came out and said hello, but there's 30 guys on the car.
Yeah.
Where are all the other guys?
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure there's an intimidation factor with some of them, even though it's a work and everything else.
Yeah, I get that.
But still, you get to come out and talk to somebody that's in the Hall of Fame or one of the legends that's done some pretty decent things in our business. You should show respect. So, man, are you kidding me?
I can relate to your
when I was with Jim Crockett, when I first went in as a road warrior by myself, but there was a big fight going on between Jim Barnett and Ole Anderson. They sent me to the Carolinas. I lived off a half a gallon of milk and a bag of pretzel sticks for a week.
Yeah.
That was my meals. I had to ration out my pretzel sticks 3 times a day with a half gallon of milk, just taking a glass. And, man, I'm telling you, that part of paving your way, it builds intestinal fortitude. And I really think that the camps should get back to that. I mean, not making guys starve per se, but getting back to, listen, man, how far are you willing to go to make this work?
Right. We let too many people in. This was a very closed-off business at one point. Now, unfortunately, anybody with a wrestling ring and a space or a facility could call themselves a wrestling school. And, you know, they're ripping kids off for money. You know, there should be more. I wish there was some way to regulate it. Unfortunately, there isn't. But it tarnishes everything because, God, man, I have so much respect for the business. It breaks my heart. I'm 41 years old. I've been to the WWE 3 times. I was an ECW world champion, main evented, you know, a bunch of pay-per-views for them. So I've had my own, not big, huge success, but I've made money. I've done stuff, and I'm 41 and I'm still physically healthy and I can't get work because just the way the business has become ever since WCW and ECW went out of business in essentially the territories. TNA is a joke. I've been there several times. They don't pay. And I'm not afraid to say it, you know. So there's really no option, and we've bastardized ourselves and the veterans. Because back when I started getting into the business, hell, you knew how to work after you've been in the business for 15 years. You didn't get a spot before then. You were now. It's like, well, I thought, well, I'm getting into 15, 20 years in the business. I know how to work. Then they don't want to touch you because you're old shoes or old hat or whatever. And it's just sad because. But not only does that hurt, but we can't give what we've learned to younger guys, like almost the passing of the torch. I'm not ready to be a top guy anymore, but I certainly would have use in a situation to help younger guys who are, you know, in need of it. So that's where I think the business is wrong on so many levels, you know?
Well, so yeah, but I, hey, listen, I can relate to you. when it comes to tag team championships, nobody's won more different titles than Hawk and I did. Every belt you could possibly win. I can't even get in the door to help train these kids or coach these kids, and which is what our business is all about. You
sure.
want to have a guy. How can you teach anybody to go to the Super Bowl, which WrestleMania is a Super Bowl, when you've never been to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, and this is a part of our business that the guys that are in my situation now, I'm 54. I looked forward to this time in my business so I can get into the office and help be creative and help train these young men coming up. And,
sure.
and it's not the young athletes' fault. They're thrusted into a position that they don't know anything different, and whoever's
yep.
teaching them is not correcting their attitudes on anything different.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the problem right there, man. You got to be able to teach these guys the proper way so they know that when their chance does come, they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And the writers are killing it.
Well, that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem because
yeah.
they're not fans of the business. There were no such thing as writers back in the Crockett days or the early days of, you know, whatever, Vince's success and all the other success in WCW, ECW, WWE. They're
yeah.
just I was, you know, you've been there recently, you know, with the Raws and SmackDowns. They're kids. I had a kid writing for me when I teamed with X-Pac in 2001. That used to sit front row in the ECW arena where I made my fame, and now he's writing for me. So it's, you know, they, not to say that they're not qualified, but they don't have understanding of, you know, guys like, you know, the Croc, you know, like a Dusty or a Pat Patterson or guys that are in the business, you know,
yeah,
and
you,
they
you,
make
yeah,
a lot of
unless,
mistakes.
Listen, unless you've walked out in front
yes.
of 20 or I've had the pleasure of walking out up in front of 100,000 people. If
yep.
you don't know how that reaction is, you don't know how
Forget
to
it.
Get that reaction. You cannot write that reaction.
No, sir. No,
okay.
sir. Yep.
So it's a lived thing. You're not going to have some guy be president of World Banks who's never been a banker. I mean,
right.
you know, this is the part of the business that it just drives guys that are in their 40s and 50s now crazy because
– yeah.
You know, there's a lot of great quality guys out there, and they should be in the back end helping out. And you're not
yep.
somebody's friend, or you're not kissing
yep.
somebody's rear end. You're not getting a job.
And it's the sad thing is because there are so many more resources today, Joe, to pass talents. Some of the legends who made the business what it was, from going from territories to worldwide, that you know, guys like yourself could really help. Yeah, and even to a lesser degree, I'm not putting myself where you are, but even a lesser degree, guys like myself could help as well. So it's a shame because the resources are there. I think it's the cockiness and their bravado that they could do it any way they want it, and the fans have to take it. And we see it with their product. Bottom line, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm going to have to
Sorry.
Take a break. No, it's okay. I've got to
go on.
I do have to pay the bills, and we'll get right back into the program. We have a bunch of calls that we still have to take, but give us a couple minutes here.
Oh,
we'll get
and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
All right, this is the PW Torch Livecast, and it's brought to you today by our good friends at Audible. If you like audiobooks, and many of you do, you should go check out Audible by Amazon. If you have an Amazon account, obviously you have an Audible account. Over 150,000 books from all the top authors. Just under the wrestling section alone, you've got the Chris Jericho book that's out in audiobook form. You've got Greg Klein's book about the Junkyard Dog. It's an incredible, you know. Lex Luger's book. Dusty Rhodes book on audio, Shawn Michaels, they're all here. You can get them. You sign up at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. They give you the first book free. It costs $14.95 a month to be a member. You pick out one book a month, any book you like, listen to it however you want, exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked, and cancel at any time. Or you can just go and buy your audio books without being a member on the audible.com site. It's very simple. It's audible.com because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. And let's go to there's something else that I have to
Your idea is intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
The Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. If you, it's $10 a month, $99 a year. PWTorch.com/govip. You get at least 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per week, including the VIP after show, which James Caldwell and I will tape later tonight. Get all the Torch newsletters online in slick PDF files. You can get on the ad-free version of the PWTorch.com website if you don't like ads interfering with your wrestling online experience. It's very nice. VIP members, no new Torch newsletter coming up this week with exclusive articles and features. We have a live cast poll online where we ask where we're asking you which show you're most looking forward to this weekend. So there's just a whole lot here. And hello.
Yeah, hello.
Okay.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm lost you guys.
Okay. Well, everybody. Okay, everybody's back here. So, I want to take. We have people who have very patiently been waiting. So, for those people who are just checking in for the first time, you can ask up to 3 questions, make up to 3 comments. But at the end of the day,
that's a magic number.
And let's go to the phones to the 773 area code 773. You're on the live cast with Justin Credible and Road Warrior Animal.
Boris from Chicago.
How you doing, Boris?
Breaking news, Pat.
Yeah.
WWE just blocked. I had converted a VH of WCW, the Bone Crushers, the greatest tag teams of the 90s. They just blocked me. They just blocked me on YouTube.
Oh, my goodness.
This was a VH tape, mind you, that I decided to convert and put up so everybody can join on YouTube. You know, I'm a wrestling fan. It just got blocked.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Hold on a moment. Let me cue this here. Breaking news. Boris has been copyright blocked by WWE. Okay, that's
at
one
least,
that's
least you know they're looking at you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, yeah, that's one. We need what else do you have here?
I want to ask Animal, because I want to ask him a question first. Is it true back in the day when a guy like yourself and like a Sting or something, when he was allowed to pin you or use his finish on you, was that a sign of respect or was that something? I just wanted to clarify, was that true that in order for a guy to pin you, you know, a legitimate pin or use a finisher on you, that was a sign of respect? I just want to clarify that.
Well, the whole business is a sign of respect, okay? And at times, and I think it happens now, the guys lose sight of it, that it is entertainment. And the guys also lose sight of the fact that people will tell you what they want to believe. And they may believe that Sting could pin me. They may believe he could not pin me. But you have to go and not – I'm a big believer of not insulting the integrity of a fan. If the fans are 100% Road Warriors and it's time for Sting to beat, it doesn't make sense to do it. There's a right time and a place to do everything. But it is an ultimate sign of respect that you respect the guy in the ring with, that I would let a guy use his finishing move on me. It means, A, I trust you, you trust me, I'm trusting your my neck, and my family's trusting you with my neck in your hands. You got to take care of me when you're doing your move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Next question, Boris.
Okay. I just wanted to say something first before I ask the question. My first live event was Chi-Town Rumble 89. And I went there to see the Road Warriors and Ric Flair. So there you go. That's where you know where I stand as far as the product. That's where I stand with the product. I'm a WCW NWA guy. But my question, another one, I watched the DVD, and I want you to either, you know, give a little bit more on it. Was it true that you were supposed to take it easy on the Bruiser and Crusher, and can you explain that?
By the time we got ready to wrestle Cruiser and Crusher Bruiser, I mean, Bruiser was already retired, and Crusher was right at the end of his career. And out of respect, you had two guys, Crusher and Bruiser. I don't think they left their feet for 20 years. I mean, they were the guys, they were Road Warriors before they were Road Warriors, you know. And Crusher was still at that time, heck, almost benching 450 pounds, and he was like 65 years old. You know, so, I mean, it was a respect thing. And we did take care of Crusher and Bruiser. I mean, we didn't hurt them. We took care of them. And, you know, heck, I like Crusher knocked me down with a double barrel, the two eyes and two thumbs of the eye. You know, if that's not respect, I don't know what respect is. You know, so, but we did come in there and we press land each one of them over our heads, and you know, which immediately down there in the Milwaukee and the AWA area got us extremely over. You know, so, and it was great for those guys because they know, and they were businessmen. For them to let that do it, they didn't have to let us do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they
that's
did. Fair. So I give it, you know, my hats off to those guys. You know,
that's what's missing now.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
With all the cheering that Daniel Bryan getting, I mean, you know, that's a sign right there that's what we want in the business. You know, but yet they want, you know, they decide that no, that's not it. But you know, as of the Royal Rumble, you see what happened.
Yeah,
okay,
well, I mean, there's
thanks
a lot of great guys too. You got Dolph, but you have Dolph Ziggler, who's being totally misused. You got Joe Henning, who's one of the greatest talents there, not even on the card hardly.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
That's
I don't
true.
Know what their thought processes are. You could have a great tag team right there with Ziggler and Curtis Angle if you wanted to. You know.
Yep. They certainly could. I want to get to one question from the chat room. Just asking what you and Hawk used to argue about on the road.
Heck, not really a lot. I mean, Hawk and I usually got along pretty well, to be quite honest with you. Maybe about being on time to an event or something. I don't know. But we were usually never late.
Right.
We always had Ellering there telling us where to go, what to do. And, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, heck, Hawk and I, we used to sit there in Denny's or wherever we'd be eating dinner, and Ellering would bring out the napkin and draw, and that's how we learned. He'd say, Hawk, you're here. Animal, you're here. Let's go work on throwing a guy here. And that's how we learned the wrestling business.
Okay.
That's what I mean by somebody that's got experience teaching you the craft, you know.
All right. We have a chat room question from Iconic, and it's for both of you. Who are your favorite wrestlers to watch? You know, who are your favorite present-day wrestlers to watch?
That's a tough one. I'd say Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler. I like the way the way Daniel does everything. I've known him. I went down when Shawn Michaels had his TWA promotion in wrestling school. This is when Shawn retired from his back. He had a school for a little while. Daniel was down there, and I went down there to work for Shawn, and that's when I got to meet him. So, I mean, he's somebody, you know, that I think is working at a really, really high level. I really enjoy watching him. But Dolph Ziggler, because he reminds me of like a Kurt Hennig, and I loved Kurt. I thought Kurt was one of the best ever in the business. And, you know, he just knows how to sell. Not a lot of guys, you know, guys our size have to sell. And very few, you know, guys know how to register, but not a lot of guys know how to really sell. And he does. And I really, really enjoy watching those two.
Okay.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. Those two guys are great. They're both really good. There's actually, I mean, there's a couple ROH guys that I like. I mean, be honest with you, I love the Briscoes tag team of ROH.
Yeah.
Wow.
The two guys from the Swamp, man. I think they got that gimmick down great. They're the country boys, and it's good. It's believable. That's the best thing about the things in our business that made sense and have worked are the believable things.
Yeah.
You know, like one guy that was misused in our business, he started back with WCW, was Scott Norton. Here you got a guy that was in a movie Over the Top, and he was part of the NWO, and Norton was a 690-pound bench presser, could wrestle his rear end off, one of the most popular guys in Japan, and they did nothing with him in WCW. But that was the one back when all the click stuff was starting to start and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, do want to get back to the telephone. Before I do that, I remind you that at the bottom of the hour, you can tune into the East Coast Cast, hosted by Travis Bryant and Bardry Purnell, immediately following the live cast on most of these Blog Talk radio stations. Go to eastcoastcast.com and listen in. Parental discretion is advised, unlike this program. Let's go back to the phones to the 754 area code. 754, please state your name and town. You are on the live cast with Justin Credible and Road Warrior Hawk. Road Warrior Animal, I'm sorry.
Michael from Boca Raton, Florida. Hi.
Yes, Michael.
Good evening, guys. I want to ask you about Brock Lesnar defeating The Undertaker. Do you think it was a good decision? Was it the right time, and why? That's number one.
Okay, let's tackle that first. Animal.
If I was The Undertaker and I had to lose to anybody in the company, I would have picked Lesnar. That would have been my choice. I think it was probably time. I mean, Undertaker is the only one that knows it's time, and, you know, it was his decision, I'm sure, who he's going to drop it to. I'm sure they probably respected him enough to let him make that decision. I know they like to put it in the hands and say, well, Triple H did this or Vince decided this. At the end of the day, you know, it's about making your payday and whatever, you know. I think they would respect Undertaker enough after 20-something odd years in the business of, hey, man, you mind doing this? And it's up to Taker to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Justin?
I would have liked to, only because this is probably, and I don't know for sure, but this is probably, I mean, nothing like this in the business will ever happen as far as the way they marketed the streak and, the amount of time he put into the WWE. So me personally, I mean, I get what they were trying to do. It's a big deal. I mean, but, Brock didn't need to beat Undertaker because, quite frankly, he's the most credible world champion they've had in so long. I mean, you know, he's a beast. I mean, he truly is a beast.
Yeah.
And he looks the part. I mean, you don't have to tell me, you know, I buy into him. So, I think they could have gotten a little more out of the celebration of it, you know, but whatever. I mean, I get it either way, but I would just, for me as a fan, not as a, you know, performer, I have a ton of respect for Mark. I think as a fan, I would have liked to have seen him bow out undefeated, only because that's something you could always, you know, nobody's ever done, kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's
one of these things we were talking about that you don't touch. They shouldn't have touched it. They should have just left it alone.
Yeah.
Let him retire undefeated, and it would have been something that goes down in history, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next question, Mike.
Number two. Oh, another question about Hulk Hogan inducting Randy Savage. Now, everybody seems to know, or it's well documented, that there were some personal issues, and putting that aside, is it a good reason? I mean, is it a good decision for Hulk Hogan to induct based on their on-camera history and just forget about all the, you know, stuff that might have happened behind the scenes? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Animal, go ahead.
Personally, I think that if anybody should induct Randy in, it should be his brother. I think Lanny should be inducting him in. It's a family deal. Personally, I think near the end there was too much heat between Hogan and Savage. After the Elizabeth thing, Randy went off the deep end anyway. He was never the same after that. So, but I am happy that when, you know, unfortunately when he died, he was in a great place in his life, you know?
Right.
And met a child, got together with his childhood sweetheart and all that. That part is phenomenal. I mean, I've always liked Randy. I have nothing against Randy at all. I just think there was so much heat there that all the boys knew about that.
Right.
I don't know if it's the right thing to have Hogan induct him in or not.
Okay. Justin?
I have to agree with
you. They said that they reconciled. Before he died, they said he reconciled. I don't know.
I agree with Animal, though. I mean, it's a family thing. It's something, you know, that, you know, they their dad, Angelo, Lanny, obviously they have a rich tradition in wrestling history. I think that's the proper way to go, obviously, with Lanny doing it. I never heard a lot of the Hulk stuff because it was before my, you know, I was never there. I know Hulk a little bit. I never met Randy.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know anything, about that. But it just seems proper to have his family do it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I think the decision is, you know, and we've heard about this previous years when they've done Hall of Fame inductions, they don't think Lanny Poffo is famous enough. So there you go.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's not about fame, you know, it's about doing the right thing.
I agree with that, but I'm just, you know, that's going to be, inject Kevin Dunn full of truth serum, that's the answer he'd give you. Probably.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, in all honesty, how relevant is the other guy nowadays anyway?
Yeah.
Well, that's
I mean,
that's
I don't think
fair.
They're using Hogan in the most positive fashion either, as well as they could. He shows up once in a blue moon, and, you know, and listen, you have to change with the times. Your promo has to change with the times. Nothing that is changing with the times. You know?
Yeah. Well,
and,
yeah, that's almost
agree,
a tradition with WWE.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Michael dropped off. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more call from the 770 area code. 770, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Animal, Just Incredible. Hello.
Hey, it's Larry from Atlanta.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, Pat. You know, first off, it's awesome to hear both Justin and Animal. I mean, you guys are both legends, and I've enjoyed both of your careers. You know, so it's an honor to be on the live cast with y'all. I've enjoyed all the discussion so far, and I'm kind of wondering, when you guys were talking earlier about respect in the business of kind of the younger talent coming in, can you both speak to some examples of maybe got colleagues that you had in the past where when they kind of were younger in the business, you felt that maybe they had no respect and you didn't expect that they would have matured in the business, but then they turned around and really surprised you with how much they, learned and gained the respect.
Huh.
Gained the respect.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I had the privilege of working with Randy Orton when he first went out of OVW, which was at the time their developmental Ohio Valley Wrestling. And Randy was super cool with me. We used to do the Beatdown Loot for WWE, you know, opening match, you know, because they didn't know he wasn't on TV or anything. They were just grooming him for his debut. And, you know, I can't say he wasn't respectful because he comes from a great wrestling family. But that being said, you know, he was just very aloof and, you know, kind of, you know, thought he who he was. Cool to me, loved working with him, had excellent matches with him. But he's somebody that I think turned his game around and just really excelled to where he is today from a respect level and from a performer level. So, I mean, that was a question to answer. I had to really kind of think about it in that quick period of time. I wish I could think about it more, but we don't have the time. But that's one name that kind of just comes to mind.
All right. Animal?
You know, I really, to be quite honest with you, man, I was on the road so much and so freaking busy, I never even really even thought about anything like that. But I will now that I remember when I was there when Randy first came to WWF at the time, and I saw him. And I understand what you're saying there, Justin. He was, you know, you didn't know what his attitude, if he was going to really make it or not. You know he had respect, but he was just so different. There was a little bit of arrogance there.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, Randy just exudes arrogance anyway. That's just Randy.
Yeah, that's who he is,
you know?
Yeah.
And, he's one of the best performers in our business. So, I mean,
that really wasn't
any surprise, you know.
Yes.
So.
Very good at what he does. Anything else, Larry?
Yeah. Well, I know that Stone Cold, when he's interviewed both Vince McMahon and Triple H on the podcast on the WWE Network, he's asked both of them about kind of the heavy scripting that goes on with promos and everything like that. Now, obviously, Triple H gives the analogy, you know, you have to run our playbook, you know, kind of like football. But so I guess my question is kind of knowing that for the time they're going to keep the scripting pretty tight, but you know, in this day and age, how are guys supposed to kind of find their characters and find themselves and, you know, have those opportunities to, you know, either like find a catchphrase or find something that really connects with the people? What, like, what could you recommend to talent, if anything, on how to thrive in this kind of environment?
Okay, before they start answering this question, I want to point out that we're going to lose our live listeners during this answer, but you can go ahead and download the rest of the show later. Okay, go ahead, Animal.
I'll do it real quick. Oh, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I don't know if there's nothing you can do that today. I don't know if there's anything you can do. First of all, I know they like to script it off the NFL, but how many NFL games have they played in? I mean, come on, you can't. For a wrestling guy to get over, you have to have a relationship with the fan. You have to bring out your inner personality and let that shine through. And unless you have someone stop writing your lines for you, when I do an interview, they say, Animal, you're wrestling the Four Horsemen tonight. You know what they did the last time on TV? Let's make it work. Hawk and I would go in there, not have us tell us what to say at all. We had lived everything.
Yep.
But we knew. See, sometimes you got to dig deep. I don't know if these guys, because it's a different age now, man. A lot of these guys don't have the same life experience as Hawk and I had. I was an inner city kid. Hawk was an inner city kid. I mean, there was a lot of fighting and getting, you know, doggy dog before you got to where you got to be. Now you don't. Everything's on FaceTime and MySpace before. And, you know, and they're doing, you know, now it's YouTube and everything else. A guy can learn how to wrestle without even getting in the ring today.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least think he knows how to do it. You know what I mean? And that's a lot of the problem. Not that there's not great athletes out there. There is. There's phenomenal athletes out there. But, you know, you just have to, you know, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I explain it the right way. I think you know, Justin, what I'm talking about. You have to establish a relationship with the people. And the guys who have established a great relationship with the people who respected them are still popular today. Why do you think everybody loves Stone Cold? Because everybody in the living room was out there with
that's
a Miller or a Budweiser, toast to somebody, and a slam of a beer after a hard day.
You know, that's exactly right, and I agree so with Animal. Hey, look, you can't – you have young kids who were not necessarily from the wrestling business scripting promos for you. And when you talk – it's like you're not coming through to your, you know, you're saying the words, but you're worried about memorizing words. You're worried about, you know, it's somebody else talking through you, not you talking at the people. And he's 100% right. We would never get to know who the Road Warriors were, how great they were, how great Stone Cold was. If you didn't see the Road Warriors, those are those guys. Those are the Road Warriors. I mean, it's them to a degree, amplified, but those are the real people. That's not a work. You know, Stone Cold is like that. You know, he's just obviously, you know, toned down, but that's a lot of personalities coming through, and I think that's where the connection is being missed. You know, and unfortunately we don't have Hollywood screenwriters writing Oscar scripts for these kids who aren't ready to deliver it anyways. So I think until that changes, which I don't know if it will, but that's a huge, like Animal said, you got to make that connection with the fans, and he's 100% right.
You know, that's what this show is missing. We don't have Hollywood writers scripting this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's that, listen, they didn't thrust Tom Hanks into the role before he had a couple B-rolls first.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, then all of a sudden he became Tom Hanks. You know, and unfortunately these guys are trying to make a Tom Hanks from the very beginning. You can't do it. But I think what you're going to see happening is they're going to figure it out because, listen, everything comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Greasy hair is coming back around. Slick in the back is coming back around. Mohawks were hot. They're not hot. They're back hot. Everything comes back around. Pretty soon, somebody's going to have to pull the reins and say, listen, we need to get back to basics.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be nice. Okay, Larry, anything else?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Just last question, and thank you guys for those in-depth answers. Basically, when both of you were coming up, and this goes kind of beyond, you know, just like personal fitness and training and learning how to actually wrestle, but what would you got? What would both of you say is like such a one of the most important parts about learning how to be a great professional wrestler that just the common fans do not understand and would not know about? And thank you very much, Pat.
Okay.
I'll go real quick. You know, to me, I learned how to, you know, I've never been on the road, how to eat properly on the road, how to train on the road, how to be a professional, how to show up, you know, showing up on time. Because, you know, a lot of guys are out there, you know, especially more on the indies than on the WWE level, because now they run a pretty tight ship. But just learning how to be a professional, learning that, you know, I make my living with my body, how to take care of my body, how to, you know, with injuries, with just upkeep, and just being in the gym, taking care of yourself, getting the right sleep. You know, just learning how to be a pro, I think, to me was, you know, it was actually daunting in the beginning, because I thought, oh, I'm on the road now. I was 20 years old when I signed my first deal to the WWE back in 94. And, you know, I grew up on the road and I made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, once you realize, hey, this is what you need to do, traveling the world and, you know, being on time, playing the part outside of the ring. To continuously do your job was what really, you know, made a difference for me, especially in the physical fitness realm. Because if you don't know how to eat, you don't know how to train, you're in a different city every night, having to find a gym, find a place to eat at 1 o'clock in the morning, et cetera. You know, it takes a while, but that was one of the things.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, you know, I mastered total a couple of power meets before I got into wrestling. So the diet and nutrition, I did a couple of bodybuilding contests. I loved all that. That was part of my life growing up. So it was easy for me to continue that on the road. I think the biggest thing for me was that I learned was a give and take and respect. In this business, it's a give and take business, and you have to respect the guy you're in the ring with. You're only as good as the guy you're in the ring with.
Yes.
And that's one thing I think is you know, a guy will look at himself and say, okay, for instance, a guy could be built like Ryback, get in the ring with somebody like Daniel Bryan, and says, well, I should kill this guy. Well, I did the same thing when I wrestled Johnny Weaver. Johnny Weaver got in there looking like my grandfather, and I got in the ring, and I was 270 pounds, about 6% body fat, and went in there, and then all of a sudden, Johnny Weaver put the sleeper on me and put me to sleep.
Uh-huh.
So this is I learned my lesson of respect right there.
Sure.
Yeah, that will do it. All right. Thank you, Larry. Take care.
Hey, no
fingers.
Doubt. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. I want to work in one more question from the chat room. I appreciate you guys. Spending more than an hour doing this show. Let's see. Oh, hold on. I've got it written down here.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do this question, guys. I'm gonna have to bug out of here.
Okay. Well, why don't we? Okay, then. The guy just wants to know how much it costs to make a pair of those shoulder pads.
Well, first of all, I got to get the spikes milled, which will probably cost about $500, and then you got to buy any kind of NFL shoulder pads. I actually took my pads in. Got them painted by Miska Design, who paints most of the goalie helmets for the NHL. And that's where I got the airbrushing done. And then you get the clear coat on there, which keeps it from chipping off or whatever. And that's the most expensive part. That's about $2,500.
Jeez.
I've had a Japanese gentleman offer me $10,000 for my pads before.
Well, I guess that's why more people don't try that gimmick on their own, huh? That makes sense. All right, Animal, this Saturday in Joppa, Maryland, the Maryland Championship Wrestling Anniversary Show, are there any other appearances you want to mention or anything you're doing on social media?
No, I think I'm doing Monster Mania here coming up in Jersey coming up in March.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's a big one.
Yeah, I'm getting ready. I mean, I'm doing an event with George South and Ted DiBiase on March 21st down in Kentucky. That should be good. I also got an appearance out in San Jose the weekend of WrestleMania out there for another company. I keep busy, man. I can do appearances every weekend if I want to. I just try to limit my appearances, you know. But I am doing them now for a little bit. I'll probably be doing appearances pretty hard for the next 6 months. So anybody wants to contact me, just contact them on my Facebook page. But
okay.
I like it. I like it out there, take pictures with the fans. The good thing about it, I bring my spike shoulder pads with me everywhere, so the fans could put them on and take the photo.
Oh,
which,
nice!
You know,
go.
Which I've never done that before. So I let them put the pads on, take the photo. You know, I always come pin it up and everything. So it's pretty cool to share that experience with the fan. You know.
All right. Well, definitely appreciate having you on, and it's been great. Hopefully, we can get you back on at some point and continue this discussion. The Hall
of
Famer.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Joe. Thank you.
Justin, thank you very much, brother. You guys,
thank you
for having me on the show.
Oh, you very well.
What a rush.
Pleasure was all ours. Thank you. Justin, I know you've got some things coming up that you want to talk about.
Well, I got a show February 28th for this federation called Fight the World Wrestling, FTWWrestling.com. I'll be there on the 28th. And I don't have my book in front of me, but Boston is doing an all-day wrestling thing with all promotions from the Northeast. And I'll be doing that on March the 7th. And just go on over to my Twitter account, at PJ Polacco, P-O-L-A-C-O. To get any updates, I'm on there every day. And check out my Pro Wrestling 101 on my YouTube channel. It's just going over to YouTube and the search engine, type in Pro Wrestling 101, over 40 instructional how-to kind of, vignettes on the pro wrestling business, all from selling, locker room etiquette, a lot of the stuff that Animal and I spoke about in Pat. So go on over, check that out. And the website, www.thejustincredible.com, for everything Just Incredible.
Yes, and I know Justin will be back on the show later this year. So thank you very much for coming in today. And
I tell you what, I never talked to him, and I had a great chance. It was just fun. I really enjoyed the conversation, and hopefully the fans dug it as well. But I certainly enjoyed the hour. So thank you very much for having me today.
Oh, it's no problem. And I don't know if this means anything, but If I Was an Animal is trending on Twitter.
Well, beautiful.
I guess that's our takeaway. All right, and thanks to all of you. Tomorrow, James and Greg will be here to do more live casting. VIP members, check out later tonight. We'll have the VIP after show. And I'll be back next Wednesday with more of the same. And this Sunday, Jim Bally and I will bring you the Wayback Playback for VIP members. Okay, that's a lot. So I guess what I have to say is keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody.
It's a spot for kids.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
I don't like him.
So that means the guy's out.
I hate him. How's that? I hate him. I can't stand him.
We'll obviously have to see a lot more of him.
He's a creep.
Then.
He's a geek.
We'll have to see a whole lot more of him.
I don't like you either. How do you like that?
You suck it. You suck it. You suck it.
Suck it!
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.